Good to be back out with you this morning in God's house. You know, the song that she just sung, Learning to Be the Light, and I can remember in my life, whenever people tried to tell me I need to do things right, I had to do things and be better, you know what? I would just push that back across me. I'd say, you know what? That's fine. But you know what? Whenever Jesus Christ came into my heart, it all changed. You know what? Whenever the Spirit of God came flooding into my heart the night that I got saved, I want you to know it all changed. I started listening not to what other people had to say, per se, but to what the Word of God and what God had to say, and I come to find out that those people weren't all wrong, right? They knew what they were talking about. They were just trying to direct me down the path that I need to go. And praise God, I praise Him for His Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross. You don't have to step back here this morning wondering if you're saved. You don't have to step back here this morning wondering, you know, if I could ever get things right. I'm here to tell you, you can get things right with Jesus Christ this morning. You can do it. For the God that we serve, He sent His Son that you and I could have salvation. Amen? That's what He done. You know, I want to talk about time in the trenches this morning. It's what I want to talk a little bit about. And we're going to be over in Matthew 16, verse 24 through 27. If you want to turn there, give you a chance to get there. A preacher told a story one time about, he got up to preach one Sunday and he was preaching about being in the Lord's army. And he preached a sermon and the service had ended, and as he went to the back of the church, as people were walking out, and a gentleman walked by who hadn't been to church very much. He only come like on Easter Sunday and also on Christmas. That's the only time he'd ever come to church. But anyway, his wife and his children were very faithful, and his wife was very concerned about him. So she had mentioned to the preacher, you know, that he may be there. This is like an Easter Sunday. He may be there. And the preacher, like I said, had preached on being in the Lord's army. Well, anyway, he pulled him aside. The preacher did as he was going out the door. And he asked him, he said, John, as it was John, he said, you know, he asked him in life, he said, you heard the sermon before. He said, are you still serving God? Are you still in the Lord's army? He just had a question. He said, he didn't do it in front of anybody. He pulled him off to the side. And he asked him that. And the man whose name was John said, yes. He said, yes, son. He said, I'm still serving God. I'm still in the Lord's army. He said, well, why do I not see you only at Christmas and at Easter then for? He said, well, he said, I'm in the Secret Service. And of course, I got thinking about that. I said, there's no way. There's no way that we could be in the Secret Service whenever we're serving the Lord. Amen? There's just no way. The song is saying, learning to be the light. You know what, folks, I believe we're in a battle for the battle of folks' lives. We're in a battle for people that are in our families' lives. And there's no way that we should be in the Secret Service for serving Jesus when so much is at stake. Amen? It's high time we let the world know where we stand. We've got to get in the trenches. We've got to hold our ground. We've got to go on the offensive whenever it's necessary to serve Jesus Christ. Amen? There's no secret discipleship in serving the Lord. Matthew 5, 14 and 16, I'll get to the scripture here in a little bit, I'm going to preach on, tells us, ye are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Praise God! We're not in the Secret Service. We're not in the business of keeping these things to ourselves. Amen? We have got to let the world know that Jesus Christ is still in the saving business. You know what? What He done for me, He will do for others. And I preach it and I preach it and I want to keep on saying, folks, praise God, Jesus Christ can do a work in your life that nobody else can do. He can do it. I'll tell you what, praise God. Let's go over and read Matthew now. Matthew, the 16th chapter. Let's go to verse 24 through 27, please. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then shall reward every man according to his works. Verily, I'm going to go ahead and read 28. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in His kingdom. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, I come asking You, Father, this morning that You would be with the sermon this morning, Lord, that You would take it, Lord, and use it for Your glory. I pray, Father, this morning that, again, as I come, Lord, I ask You to get me out of the way, Lord. I pray, Father, that the words that would go out would be Your words. I pray, Lord, that the Spirit would come down, Lord, this morning, that the anointing would be here, Lord, and that, Father, that it would go out into all hearts that are here this morning. And I want to praise You for that. I want to praise You for the love. I want to praise You for the song, for the testimonies, for all that's been said and done here so far this morning. I want to praise You for that and give You the glory. We ask it in Your Son Jesus' name, and amen. Amen. Armies exist to do what? What do armies exist to do? And I'll just ask you, so I'm going to throw it out there to you. They exist to do what? To deal with conflicts, right? Armies are there to defend their people. Armies are there to fight the enemy, or in some cases, even to contain evil that's out in the world. Armies are there, exist to do all that. Those who join up to serve in an army know exactly what they can expect when their country goes to war, right? They should know. I mean, you talk to Ryan. Ryan, I know, has been in the Marines. Anybody else who's ever been in the service, whenever they joined up to go into the service, to go into serve in the armies of the United States or any other thing, guard or whatever, they knew there was a possibility that they would have to go to war someday, right? They knew that. They probably knew that. You know what brings me to this? I read a story here a while back about a young man. This happened a few years back whenever he had signed up in the army. And what he had done, whenever he signed up, he had just looked at all the benefits. They were good. They were giving him a paycheck. They were giving him college tuition. They were giving him insurance and all the other things that went along with signing up to be in the Army. Well, the war come along whenever President Bush declared war on Iraq and Saddam Hussein. Well, this boy was called up to go serve. He had to go to Iraq. You know what? He didn't want to do it. He said, "I didn't sign up for that." He said, "I signed up for the benefits," is what he said. What he told this guy. He said, I joined it because they were going to send me to college afterwards. And all the other, he said, "I didn't sign up to go to war." Well, there's something wrong with that kind of thinking, right? There's something wrong with that. And as I stated earlier, the primary function of any army is to prepare for war. And I'm going to get to a point here. I would like you to understand, when you sign up, it's probably in the job description. Am I right? Whatever you do, it's in the job description. My right, Ryan, it's there, right? Actually, the young man didn't count the cost very well of what it was to serve the Lord. He didn't count that cost very much. And brothers, he knew armies do not exist just to pass out benefits. Can I say that? But just like the young man, just like that young man and the others just like him who joined hoping for a free ride, just like that, you know what? And that kind of mentality could undermine that army. It can undermine an army. And I want to tell you something. That same kind of mentality in the church world today can undermine the work that we have for Jesus Christ. Amen? We didn't just sign up for the benefits. There's a work to be done when we serve Jesus Christ, right? You know what? I don't think some Christians count the cost of serving Christ sometimes. I don't think they do. Over in Luke 14, 25 through 27, Jesus tells us there, "And there went out a great multitude with him, and he turned and said unto them," he said, "If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever do not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." And he goes on to say, "For which of you intending to build a tower setteth not down first and count the cost, whether it be sufficient to finish it, lest haply after he has laid the foundation, it is not able to finish it, all that beholdeth it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build, it was not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another setteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great ways off, he sendeth an ambassage, and desireth the conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever be of you that forsaketh not all that he has, he cannot be my disciple." Folks, what is he saying? He's saying there is a cost to serving and doing what God wants us to do. If you are going to pick up your cross and follow Jesus Christ, I want you to understand something. Yes, there are great benefits out there in the future somewhere. We have a home in heaven to go to. God will bless us. But I want you to know, we may have a battle while we're down here. Amen? We might have that battle whenever we start and pick up the cross and to follow Jesus Christ. That's no time for any of us to take and not consider it then. But praise God, we need to understand that serving Jesus Christ comes with a cost sometimes. He's telling us there, when it talks about hating your mother's brother, it's not an actual literal hate that he's talking about, but it's just a world system that we live in where everything is pointed towards, you know what, we have to have our mind on everybody else around us. Whenever we pick up a cross to follow him, it is to follow Jesus. Our hearts and our souls should be on him, amen? That's where it should be. Jesus is addressing this in the scripture text I read this morning. He addresses it, calls his disciples aside, and he tells them, explains to them that they're part of his army. Amen? He does that. He called them into battle. That's what he's done. And you know what? And there's a decision to be made. You may be thinking, they have been with Jesus for a while, right? Yeah. Whenever this scripture right here, some of the scholars tell me that they'd already been with Jesus for at least 2 years whenever they wrote about this scripture right here. He was called into battle, and you're thinking, you know what? Yes, at this point they could have been, but surely to prove what his disciples are squarely in his corner. That's what he's trying to get them to do. Even over in Mark 10:28, Peter made the statement, "Lo, have we not left all and have followed thee?" Peter made that statement, right? I believe the disciples, like so many at that time, thought that Jesus would set up his kingdom at that time, run Romans out. That's what I believe. That's what I believe all the disciples. They were ready for the benefits. Jesus was getting ready to tell them just exactly what was about to happen. They knew. They had seen Jesus' power. Amen? They knew what he could do. They seen him heal the deaf, the mute, the lame. They seen him do that. They seen him raise a little girl from the dead. Remember Jairus' daughter? He raised her up. They seen him do that. They seen him walk on the water. They had seen him calm the storm. It was just simply saying, "Peace be still." They had seen that. They had seen him feed 5,000 people, or better, it said 5,000 people plus their family. It could have been as many as 10,000 people, with just enough to feed barely 5 people for the 5 loaves of bread. You know what? Jesus Christ did it on 2 different occasions. His disciples had seen all that. And they were saying to themselves, well, he could drive the Romans out with no problem. That's what they were thinking. And I believe with all my heart that that's what they were thinking. And Jesus is telling them in Matthew, saying, it's not all about the benefits, boys. Brothers, it's about picking up your cross and following me. It's about time that you get in the trenches and get ready, because the battle is really going to start right now. And I want to tell you something this morning. Understand this. Whenever you pick up your cross to follow Jesus Christ, I want you to know something. The battle's going to start right then. Do you understand that? Do we? It's not going to be all roses and ice cream and popsicle and everything else like some preachers like to preach it out there. I want to tell you something this morning. When you pick up your cross to follow you, I don't care. You ask some of them in here. You ask some of them that's been serving the Lord for years, and they can tell you there's been times they've had to get in the bunker because the devil's been firing at them in all different directions. You ask them, they'll tell you that you know what? They've had to stick their head out sometimes and look and say, God, are you still there? And you know what? He has proved yourself time after time. The battle is there for you. It will always be there. But praise God, Jesus Christ is there for us all the time. He is there. That battle, the battle that you're going to face. I want to tell you something. Don't let people deceive you. Whenever you become a Christian, it's not always going to be a bed of roses for you. It's not. I have found it. Many have found it. I want you to understand it. Too many people try to make it out that way, but it's not that way. It's not that way. It's all about if you're willing to lose your life for Christ. It's all about if you're seriously committed to Jesus Christ. This is what it's about. Jesus knew his time of growing short. He knew it whenever he called him to the side. His arrest And his crucifixion were nearly about within the next couple of weeks is when it was going to happen, from the time this scripture here was talking about. He's trying to make it clear to them. How serious the task is that lays ahead of them. He's trying to put it out there. So Jesus is laying out something for himself. He's trying to tell himself, where's your allegiance at? Where's it at? And then you know what? Would you think that would be easy, right? They've been following him. Back up in Matthew 16, 13 and 14, he asked them, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, whom people say that the Son of Man is? He asked them that question. And you know what? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. Then he asked his mother, he asked another question over in Matthew 16, 16, but what about you? He asked, whom do you say that I am? And Simon Peter was the one who answered, and he said this, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Peter had it. Jesus explained, you know, Jesus commends Peter for that. Jesus commends Peter for giving him that answer right at that time. But lo and behold, let's go on down through the... Jesus explained one final battle that he's going to have to fight, and that's in Matthew 16, 20 and 21. Then he ordered his disciples not to tell anyone what Peter just said. And from that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go up to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, that they must be killed, and on the third day he was going to raise again. You know what Peter did? The same guy that Jesus commended a little earlier, Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Begin to rebuke the Son of God. And he told him, he said, never, Lord. He said, this shall never happen to you. Jesus turned and said to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Get thee behind me. He said, you are a stumbling block to me. And I like how the NIV puts this. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. Amen. Whenever we pick up our cross to follow Jesus Christ, I want to tell you something this morning. We have to put aside, for the most part, our human concerns, and we have to follow Jesus Christ with all of our heart, our souls, and our minds. That's what He wants us to do. If we're going to be in the trenches for Him, if we're going to do that, what Peter's saying right here is, he said, I didn't sign up for Jesus. You know what I signed up for? I signed up for, because you're going to run the Romans out of here, out of Jerusalem. You're going to take over, and us, as they, who have been your faithful followers, we're going to help you rule. I didn't sign up for none of this stuff about you dying and us having to carry on the work. I didn't sign up for any of that. And I believe that's what Peter was trying. I believe that's what Peter was coming across at right here. That's just me. And he gives the teaching in today's text about what Jesus is telling his disciples. Boys, I've called you to war. I've called you to war. And in war, you're going to face the possibility of death. And he's telling them. Not only is he telling them that, he's also speaking to us today. Amen? He's telling us that once we pick up that cross and go into the trenches, folks, I want you to know something. We could face suffering. We could face danger. We could maybe even face death. I know it's hard to comprehend here in Sandyville, West Virginia, any of us facing danger, death, or anything like that. I understand that. But we know in this world we live in, there are people dying out there for their Christian faith. Am I right? Go over in Egypt. Go over in those places over there where these people are dying for their faith. I guess what concerns me is that what little condemnation and ridicule we face around here, you know what it has us doing sometimes? It has us cowering in our trenches sometimes. What little bit we face around here. Oh, my goodness. You know what? That person at work, he didn't want to hear anything I had to say about Jesus, and he said I was some kind of a holy roller. And we go cowering in our little trenches somewhere, and we think, you know what? You know what? I'm not going to have to put up with that kind of stuff. You know what? I didn't sign up for this. I want to tell you something. If you picked up your cross to follow Jesus, you're going to get ridiculed. You're going to have all kind of things come against you. I have, and you will, and I believe if you haven't yet, you're going to face it. I remember the moment after I got saved, I went back to school like I told you, and I tell you, I was kind of hot-headed also back in school. I really was. And what I done was I went to school, and we were sitting outside at lunchtime. We could go outside and see. And we were sitting out there on a car, and a boy was out there, and he was swinging a stick or something. I don't know what he was doing, but he swung and hit me right across the face with that thing. And my first reaction was, did you know what? Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God, come over me. And I sat there, and I was on that car. I said, man, I said, that hurt. I said, and I didn't do what I normally would do. And I thank God for that. But a little bit further down the road, I was witnessing to people. And this one boy said, I didn't want to hear about that nonsense. And you know what? He told me that. He said, I don't want to hear about that nonsense. I was trying to tell him that he needed Jesus Christ in his life. But you know, that hurt my feelings. But then I fastly learned, you know what? I'm going to have my feelings hurt. People aren't going to like what I say. But praise God, I learned that from that point on, you know what? I'm not going to cower in my trenches. You know what? I'm going to take up my cross and follow Him, and there's going to be time I'm going to go on the offensive. And I'm going to say, Lord, help me to understand and to go what I need to do. I know it's hard for us to comprehend that. We have become afraid to stand up against sin in this country. The world has convinced us that if we're not loving, we're not caring, we're hate mongers, if we stand up and tell people in this country that sin is sin and that they need to get out of the sin business, we are considered the ones that are wrong. And you've heard me preach that before. We hunker down in our trenches and we go about saying, oh, we're not going to say a thing about it because I'm afraid what people will think. You know what? You know the way I think to love people is to tell them Jesus loves them and they need to get out of the sin business. That's the way I think we need to love people. It tells us in James 5:19-20, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his ways shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Mark that in your Bible. Mark that in there and yell, because that right there is the truth. You know what? The next time the devil wants you cowering down somewhere in your trench and not being out of witnessing for him, go to James 5:19-20 and read that, and then tell me that he doesn't want us to go out and witness to the lost. Don't be afraid to tell them all about Jesus. But preacher, they will make fun of me. Preacher, they'll do that. They may not be my friends anymore. I've heard that. I've heard that from people. Believe you, believe it or not. That's my family. You know what? They're never going to believe what I have to say. They know me back whenever I was this bad boy back or bad girl back years ago. I want to tell you, Matthew 5:11-12 tells us, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Paul tells us in 2 Timothy 3:12, yea, and all that will live godly in Jesus Christ shall what? They shall suffer persecution. I'm going to tell you, if you're going to live a godly life, if you're going to live a life that serves Jesus Christ, I'm going to tell you here this morning, I want you to raise your hands, all of you raise them, just raise them right up, you're going to suffer persecution. You're going to suffer it. People are going to make fun of you. They're not going to like what you have to say all the time. They're not going to do it. They're not going to do it. It is 1 Peter 4:12-13. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you, as though some strange thing is happening to you. But rejoicing as much as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceedingly joy. Paul was one of the greatest figures in the New Testament beside Jesus Christ, as far as I'm concerned. And brothers, we've read this scripture here how many times? Over in 2 Corinthians, where it says 11:24-28, that tells us everything that Paul went through. Everything that he went through. And I'm going to read it again because I think it bears worth going over. And I don't do this all the time, but sometimes I like the NIV version of how they say it. And I know we're a King James Version Bible church around here. I want you to know that. But sometimes I look at this stuff for commentaries. But I like the way they said this. It said in 2 Corinthians 11:24-28, 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 minus 1. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been consistently on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressures of my concern for all the churches. Paul was in the trenches. Paul was doing what God wanted him to do. But you know what? It didn't stop him from suffering the things that Paul suffered. Now, what makes us think that whenever we pick up our cross to follow him, that we are not going to suffer persecution in this world? Because we will. We will do that. Eventually, what happened to Paul? Paul was executed, right? Like all the other apostles, except for John, every one of them was executed. And you say, well, why would you do such a thing? Why would you want to stand up and follow something like that if you know that your life is going to end or you're going to be persecuted? Why would you put up with the suffering, the danger? Why would you do that? Well, they were convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus was worth it. I am convinced this morning beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus Christ is worth suffering anything that I have to put up with down here in this world. Amen? Can you believe that? I believe that. They were convinced that there was a war to be fought. They were convinced that, and there would be souls to be won. And praise God, there's no backing down when it comes to that. There's none. None. They were convinced of that. They were convinced that the faith of men and women were at stake. And praise God, they were willing to go on through and pick up their cross and follow Jesus Christ and go on. Remember Paul before King Agrippa, he declared in Acts 26, 17 and 18, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom I have sent thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, and they may receive forgiveness of sin and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith. That is to be, because they believed and were convinced that he was worth denying, it was worth denying themselves for to serve Jesus Christ. They believed that wholeheartedly. I'm telling you, I believe that too. Like I said, the majority of us will never face the problems of being whipped, stoned, beaten because of what we believe. But granted, I want to tell you something, but granted, these new hate laws they have out there, one of these days, we may face jail time for what we believe. We may face monetary action for what we believe. They may just do that one of these days. I don't know. These hate laws are out there. But even the danger of that happening is so minuscule. It's so miniscule, folks. What concerns me is that what the others around us are facing today, that concerns me more than preaching the true gospel of Jesus Christ. It concerns me if I don't do that. That's what it concerns me about. I realize more that the biggest challenge facing Christianity today isn't, this is it, it isn't just a Sunday thing. It's a 365-day a year, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day thing. That's our Christianity. That's exactly what it is. It's not something where we just come in here on Sunday. You know what? I remember the story of a woman whose son had been deployed to Iraq a few years ago also. And this boy had signed up for the Army. And he went over there, and he called home to talk to his mother. And his mother, being a good Christian woman, she asked him, she said, son, she said, they give you Sundays off? And he paused for a moment, and he said, no, Mom. He said, this is war. He said, they don't give us Sundays off. I want to tell you something, folks. This is war. We don't just get Sundays off. It's 365 days a year. Amen. It is. It's what he put, you know, as Christians, we are soldiers of Christ. We are at war with Satan every day, not just Sunday. Amen? We are that way. I pray, praise God. We are already established that we are soldiers and we are at war. So let's not misunderstand what God expects of us. And I believe God expects a lot of us. I want to tell you something. I'm going to quit right there because I want to finish this tonight. I want to tell you what God expects of us. I want you to know I believe God expects a lot out of us as Christians. And I tell you what, I want this evening, the Lord willing, I want to go on, I want to finish this sermon this evening about what God expects of us this evening. And we're sure still going to be in Matthew. So let them come and get a song this morning. Are you in the Lord's army? Are you there this morning? Let me ask you. Because if you're not, I'll tell you what, come up here this morning and let us get in here. Let us get in here. Let us pick up our cross. Let us get in the trenches. Let us follow Jesus. I'll tell you what, this evening, you know what? I think we'll find out what he expects out of us. Amen.